Scanning. Identity authorized. Welcome to the Secret Superhero Club Podcast Network.
Here you leave today and enter the world of Hilt Radio. We'll take you on an epic journey through the magic of all things Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars, from the movies to the box and everything in between. It's time to take you to Disney and beyond with your hosts, Brittany and Liam DeCosimo.
And let me too.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Hilt Radio, the only podcast guaranteed to be the wish your heart makes when you're fast asleep.
Or at least the sound your butt makes when you're fast asleep.
Tricky, get the bags!
Anyway, I'm your host, Brittany.
And I'm Liam, bringing you the latest and greatest from all things Star Wars, Disney, and Marvel.
And of course, on the Disney side, we're going to talk about Ralph breaking VR, Earl of Sandwiches returning, Walt's plans for Missouri, and Jungle Cruise wraps the filming.
How cool. And for Marvel, we'll talk about Brie Larson's upcoming appearance on Good Morning America, some unused concept art for Mantis, as well as the two new cartoons that are slowly making their way to Disney XD within the next couple weeks.
Woohoo, I'm excited. We got to talk about another cartoon, Star Wars Resistance, and that fun little video we got on the Aces.
We'll also talk about some of the film's digital release for Solo and some of the information that John Kasdan, the co-writer himself, released on the Twitterverse.
And would it be Star Wars part of our episode if we didn't talk about rumors?
And oh my God, we are inundated with episode 9 new rumors to the point that we are probably going to throw up Jedi rainbows at this point. So
Jedi
rainbow
rumors?
Oh my
God. Rumor rainbows.
Rumor rainbows. I may have a new segment on the show now. But we'll have all of this and more on this episode of Hilt Radio. But as always, before we get into the news, we're going to talk a little bit about ourselves. So T1, take us on in.
Prepare for adventures in fandom.
Perfect. So I think the main topic for what we've been into these last several hours, let's say.
You mean everybody's been into?
Oh my gosh. The entire world has been into this recently. So we talked about on the last episode the, I guess, huge amount of sales that the PS4 Spider-Man game had seen, especially over in the UK. For us, we have an Xbox 360. That's how outdated we are at this point when it comes to
consoles.
Console gaming systems. But we've had this ongoing debate, I guess, to try to decide whether or not we were going to go with like a PS4 or if we were going to just continue with the Xbox and go with an Xbox One. There really wasn't any argument for either side. We were leaning Xbox One because it was kind of like, oh,
we're used to it.
Yeah, we're used to Xbox. Like, I've had it since the first Xbox. Like, it kind of makes sense. But at the same time, it was kind of like, well, maybe we do try something different. And you had had
PlayStation.
You had had the original PlayStation.
Yeah.
So it's like you kind of knew about it. But I don't know. For you, was there really one way or the other that kind of leaned?
For me, honestly, I was leaning more towards PlayStation. And that's only because we've already had an Xbox. I mean, you had an Xbox. You brought it. And then we decided to make a purchase of the R2-D2 Xbox together. I don't remember what year that was. 2012, maybe? 2011?
Yeah, but it was definitely like a split decision. Like, we were just walking past a GameStop, saw it, and were like, oh my gosh,
this
we should
is a
go
thing.
In and see if we can
Let's
pre-order
get
it.
Yeah, before we actually searched out the new and crazy things that were out, we just happened to be going past the storefront window of GameStop, like you said, and it was like, R2-D2 on sale. A little bit. You should buy it. And we're like, yes, we should buy that because you needed a new one, which within months, I feel like your Xbox crapped out, right?
Well, remember it ate Tangled.
It did eat
Tangled.
Yeah,
we couldn't watch Tangled for in forever because it was just stuck.
Loved Tangled.
Yeah, we were just stuck in the...
I was so sad about that.
Yeah, the little rubber band or whatever for the ejector.
And I wouldn't buy a new copy either because I'm like, no, we're going to get this out one day. It's going to happen. And I'm sure we could have gotten it out sooner, but I think it was a couple months, like probably closer to a year before we actually gave it to our brother-in-law to pull it out for us. And they're like, yay, we got Tangled back, but the Xbox is gone.
Right, but now the Xbox doesn't work at all.
Yeah, so I've been leaning more towards PlayStation. And the only reason for that is because I want to be able to play the Kingdom Hearts games one day. Whether that be far off into the future, I don't care. I just want to have the option to play them. They look so awesome. I've always wanted to play them, but I've never had the right system for it. Like you said, I've had the original PlayStation dating back to, I don't know what, late 90s? Is that when that one came out?
Yeah, I think so. Because that one would have been, well, it was like PlayStation competed against like Dreamcast and
it was. Like I know it was around the time it came out because my parents spoiled us with what we wanted. So my sister wanted a Super Nintendo. She got it. Therefore, I got to play it. I wanted a PlayStation. I got it. So it that's what we wanted. And then I think we just kind of grew up and grew out of video games a little bit. And I never got any more consoles in between.
Right.
Until you came into my life.
Yeah. Well, I already had the first 360, and then that was us kind of upgrading it. Then, of course, they announced Xbox One and PlayStation 4, but like we were saying, there was no determining factor to lean us one way or the other. I had kind of fallen out of love with the Halo games, and those obviously were Xbox exclusives.
Did you?
Most of like the Call of Duties, I mean, they're like all...
Duty.
They're both spectrums, so there wasn't anything until... Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man. Well, for me, well, for you, Spider-Man. For me, Kingdom Hearts. I think there was the Ghibli game too. Wasn't it like Ni No Kuni or something? It was like from animators from Ghibli, I feel like, worked on it or something. And just because of that was like enough for me to want a PlayStation system. I was like, I don't even care if I play any other game. I just want to play a game that I could be in like a Ghibli world. That's all I need. So I'll go back and I'll find that game. So right now, as you can see, I'm leaning more towards PlayStation at the moment. And with Spider-Man, what did you think of the new game?
I loved it. I mean, I thought it was definitely engaging. The game mechanics were very similar to like the Batman Arkham Asylum series, which I enjoyed. I think I have Arkham Asylum and Arkham City or whatever, but I don't remember which one is which. There's like Arkham City, Arkham Knight, and Arkham Asylum. I have the first two. I don't have the third one. And then it was, I don't know. I really thought that the game all together, I thought it was enjoyable. It was definitely one of those you could see yourself sinking several hours of an afternoon into the game itself. I mean, visually, it's stunning. The voice acting is a lot of fun. The characters that we've seen so far have been great. There's little Easter eggs here and there that people have been able to pick apart, which has been really cool. But for me, I like Assassin's Creed. I like the open world concepts that you can kind of just get lost in. How about for you? What did you really think? I know you didn't get to play it as much. I mean, really, Remy played it more than either one of us. But even for you, what did you think?
Oh, it's enough for me to want it. I'm just watching it. I know I want to play this game. I didn't have to actually sit down and play it to know I wanted to play it. But just the cutscenes even are so interesting. I like the story of his suit and where that came from. I'm like, that's kind of a cool take on where he got this upgraded suit. And I think you missed that video.
Yeah, the lead up to that cutscene. Yeah.
And who he gets the suit from. So.
But Matthew already told me, so I already knew. Matthew's our nephew. Well, he was the one that brought his PlayStation 4 and the Spider-Man game over.
Yeah, if you guys were wondering, we had to borrow our nephew PlayStation 4. No, and we didn't even seek him out for it. He luckily was spending the night with us and he was like, hey, I have my PlayStation 4. Can I bring it over so we can play Spider-Man? Yes.
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 Not even a question. Not even a question.
Normally we're like, no, because you're going to get sucked into video games the whole time. And then we're like, wait, you got Spider-Man game? Yeah. Sure, you can come over.
But really it was Remy. And it was interesting too, because like he's not big on like the fighting stuff. Although he did do a couple of the fights, which was really neat. But mostly he just likes to swing around the city, jump into the water, walk on the street and say hi to people. He got a really big kick out of that point. And then when he figured out that he could throw like garbage cans and manhole covers at people, he got really into that part.
I know he played more than I did, like many minutes more, probably a full 30 to an hour more than I did.
Yeah.
So the fact that he knows so quickly, like the controls, and he is teaching me, Mom, press this button and this button to grab a trash can and swing it around you. I still can't pick that up. I'm like, no, kid, I need like 30 minutes by myself in a room. Nobody talk to me. I'll figure it out. Don't worry. I'm a little bit slow on certain things.
Yeah, but I thought that was really cool that it was still something that was entertaining for him without having to be mission-based, where it was just the running around New York City skyline, which was really cool. obviously, eventually, Matthew did have to go home and take his his PlayStation with him.
Yeah, I guess kids have school on Monday, so there's something about them having to be there at a specific time and going to bed.
Just seems bizarre to me. I don't know why we're still doing this. It's so outdated. But then I thought what was really funny is then Remy wanted to go back to playing Disney Infinity, which on our Xbox 360 we can play.
Yay!
So he was doing this, what he calls Spider-Man Town for 360, which basically he just does the exact same thing, just swings around the city, and sometimes when the Venoms, as he calls them, pops up, then he can fight the big Venoms and the little Venoms.
Not the symbiotes.
It was still entertaining for him, but I think this is probably going to be one of the next, like the next major purchase, but we'll probably sit till we're closer till Christmas.
Right. The little chompers.
On which ones? The Venoms?
Do you want to come tell them what you thought of the Spider-Man game? Okay, he said no, guys.
No, but he is rocking his Spider-Man shirt, so he was all in on Spider-Man today.
He's not a friend today.
Yeah, but yeah, no, I thought the game was enjoyable. It's no, I don't know. I think when I was younger, I thought the controls were far too bizarre to really get used to, and it's kind of like you were either an Xbox control preference or a PlayStation preference. But I think they're similar.
But you get used to it.
You get acclimated to either one. So
it's worth it for you, I think. Yeah. If you're not interested or invested in like something new coming from either console, then you're like, I don't care to switch over. There's no point. But
there's already rumors that the creative director for the game had said that they're looking to expand it into a whole universe of Marvel games that will not be console specific, but at least the Spider-Man game will.
Yeah. So. Well, for that reason enough, might as well stick with the same, you know, platform to play these games on, even if Spider-Man will stick with Sony and, you know, the other Avengers will be on other consoles. Who cares? Yeah. We'll already hopefully have it on PlayStation. I can't even say we will, but those are the hopes. PlayStation 4s are still not cheap. I mean, they're cheaper than they were, but
right.
I really want the Spider-Man one, and that one's not cheap.
No.
And honestly, I don't know if we're going to find it other than on eBay.
No, it was like $550 or something when I was looking on eBay. So it was definitely a pretty steep price tag at this point.
Yeah, a pretty penny we just don't have in our pocket right now.
No, we do not. Cool. Perfect. So if you guys are playing Spider-Man, which I imagine you are, let us know what your thoughts are. Does it make it worth it to buy the console solely for that game? Are there other games on PlayStation that you would recommend that we should look into, or is it totally not worth it? Were you completely bummed about the game and the hype that was built up around it? We want to know, so definitely hit us up, and we'd like to see your opinions.
For sure. Oh, you know what? They also need to make a new Epic Mickey. Just saying, I'm ready for an Epic Mickey 3. Thank you.
That game is the most frustrating game.
It is. I don't know why.
It is so stupidly frustrating.
I still play it and like it.
No, I can't.
But I get
stand
so,
it.
Oh, Liam gets angry. I'm surprised there's not holes in the wall the TV is not broken.
In like less than 30 seconds. Like, and it's not like the bosses are too difficult.
No, it's the
basically walking around is so obnoxious. The game mechanics are stupid. The storyline is completely off the wall and not even like in a fun, keep you guessing kind of way, as though there is no linear path to the story at all. Like there has never been a time
where
I feel like...
You just don't stick
with
it enough to know.
Then there you go. But I can still drop in and out of the Spider-Man game, which we had for not even 24 hours, and still understand what is going on.
We have
had Epic Mickey 2 for years, and it still makes no sense at all. Absolutely no sense.
I think it's hard because they don't just give you like what you're supposed to do. Like, you don't get a map of like, hey, this is where you should go next.
You get a map, but it's literally like, here's a circle and a square. And you're like, okay, is this the area that I'm in? And they're like, this is a map of a circle and a square. And you're like, okay, that's great. But what is the circle? Here's a map of a circle and a square.
I just want you to know that this game is really hard for Liam. And it's hard for me too. Ugh. It's just I'm more invested and involved. So yeah. I enjoy this game. I enjoy how hard it is and kind of how long it's taking me to actually get through this game.
Because like you said,
we've had this game for, there's three episodes. Episode 1, 2, and 3. We finally beat the episode 2 big boss, and that was the hardest thing ever, but In between, it gets better. It is fun. It's just not laid out for you. And I think that's why this game is hard and why you don't like it is because there is not a map showing you go here next. It's a no, you find your way. You get there. You talk to the right person. If they're giving you hints, if you don't pick up on it, that's your own fault. So it is a little bit harder. I would not say it's a kid game at all, even though Remy loves it. And because he just likes running around as the characters, and that's enough for
him. But that's the thing. He doesn't try to achieve anything in the game. It's so just he likes the character and he loves Oswald.
He loves Mickey.
Yeah.
The whole idea of the paintbrush. It's a great game, the whole Yensid idea, and then the nuttiness of it being a more Oswald-centric game because it was right after Disney got those rights.
Well, yeah, because they from Universal, they had procured the Oswald.
So now I need to get the first Epic Mickey, and I heard that it's nothing like Epic Mickey 2, but I still need it, and I'm gonna get it.
We're not buying a Wii just for that game.
We don't have to. My parents have one.
Yeah,
there's just no need.
Right, that's true.
I will borrow it, or I will be at their house for the next couple weeks once we buy it. Man.
Well, it's been nice knowing you.
Mom, Dad, I'm going to have to move into your guest room. Thank you very much. I am almost 30 and moving back.
I'm going to be doing this this podcast solo because she will be sucked in.
To play a video game. No, I imagine it's got to be much easier than this one if it's for the Wii. I just think like the game mechanics are so much different, and I don't think it's going to be that much more involved when you think about the controls on the Wii.
No.
So.
Well, it's obviously it's more physical movement than just controllers. So.
So anyway, we just went down a rabbit hole.
a lucky rabbit hole.
A lucky rabbit foot. So yeah, what video games do you guys love? And how's Ni No Kuni? Is it good? Is it a good game? Kingdom Hearts, worth it?
Nobody has played Ni No Kuni.
All right, I know. I don't think anybody has.
Perfect. All right. Well, I think that's it. We'll take it into the news.
Scanning. Here's what's going on around the galaxy.
Let's click it off. Click it off, guys. Let's click it off. Kick it off with Ralph Breaks VR. So a while back, we talked about the Star Wars virtual reality game center. What would you call that?
Experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. In downtown Disney and in Disney Springs. And there are, I think, a couple of places around America in different states. Probably like malls and fun places, you know, where you can play virtual reality games.
Right.
Where do all the kids
laser
do these
tag.
Things? What is all the hot gossip? I don't really know these days. But other than downtown Disney and Disney Springs, they are around America. But the latest one the Void is bringing is Wreck-It Ralph. Which is fitting, I think, because when you think of the next movie, Ralph Breaks the Internet, coming out in the end of November, I think November 21st.
Yeah.
It's perfect. You get to jump into a virtual reality game where you're going into the internet yourself, because that's what they said it's going to be. It's going to take place following Ralph and Vanellope through the internet. What do you think?
That's pretty cool. No, I don't know. I was definitely looking forward to the Star Wars one probably more than Wreck-It Ralph, because I like with virtual reality, it should feel, I don't know if it's like, oh, it should feel more realistic. Like, obviously I know like Star Wars is fictional, but just the idea of running around with stormtroopers and whatnot just feels very enticing.
Right.
Whereas with like running around with Wreck-It Ralph would be like cool, but in a very different way, and that's not to say that it's better or worse, it's just different.
It's different.
Yeah.
And better, in my opinion. No, I get what you're saying on, with Star Wars, they're
like a horrified look on my face, that's why she's changing her opinion now.
No, I don't really care, because I would choose Wreck-It Ralph any day over Star Wars, just my opinion. Disney Animation always wins for me.
Oh, yeah.
So, with Star Wars, it's exciting because you get that reality aspect, because they are life-size. Just, you know, like you and me, there's human characters, there's alien species, there's all different kinds of characters. When you think of stormtroopers, they're all freaking human for the most. No, they are. They're all.
Yeah, because the human. Empire is pretty racist.
The Empire is only human dudes and women.
There's a couple girls
there's
now.
There's some women in there.
For the most part.
They're sprinkled in.
Yeah, it's for the most part it's been dudes.
I mean, in the last years, we've seen some more. But.
At least dudes in ponytails.
Yeah, same thing? No, just kidding. With that said, it feels more realistic, I guess. So it was exciting, and I'm sad that we will probably miss out on it. I mean, we will be in the area before it closes out, because with this, The Void mentioned that it will be coming out around the same time that the movie is coming out. So that would be the fall. It'd be in November. I looked on the tickets you can buy. I think you can find them on Disney. When you buy your Disneyland tickets and all the experiences in Downtown Disney, you can find them there. If you go to What's Going On in Downtown Disney, you'd find it at The Void, ILM X Lab, whatever, or ILM Lab. So you can find it there. If I can find a link, I will try to give that to you in the meantime. The tickets for the Star Wars one only go to November 12th, I want to say. And I think that's like a Tuesday or a Wednesday of the month. So they are going to change it out. It's not like there's enough for them to have like both experiences going on. Because when you think about it, I'm assuming what it's going to be like is you will have obstacles physically in your way as well,
yeah,
because it's got to feel as real as possible. So you do have to go over things and actually feel like you're going over something. I assume. I've never done one of these things. I've never even messed with a virtual reality type game.
The last time I did virtual reality was way back in the 90s. They did Doom.
When it was really cool.
Yeah, when it was like Doom, and it pretty much was just as though you would put a computer monitor like up to your eyes. Like it literally didn't feel.
You're just sitting right in front of
and
a
you
screen.
Had a, you had like basically like a mouse in your hand, which is called the nunchuck, and you would tilt your hand, and that's how you would like
so it's like Wii,
and then you would like tilt it forward to go forward, you would tilt it back to go back, and there was like two mm-hmm. buttons, like one was fire and one was mm-hmm. reload, like that was it.
See, but now virtual reality
at the time,
is move.
Yeah, at the time it felt cool, but definitely not
dated.
Yeah, super dated. Look, like thinking back to that time, that had to been like what 96.
See, I feel
or
like things feel would have felt so much cooler then than they even do now. Things keep popping up and we're getting all these new experiences, and it's something every week that something new is coming out with a game or whatever, and it's supposed to be really exciting, and it is. It's always something new and exciting. I just feel like we've been in this era for so freaking long now that nothing feels new anymore.
Right.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, because you've seen advancements in technology, obviously, like in the spans of our lifetimes, from like computers to video games yeah. to cell phones, but it's still... There still isn't the point where, like, right now we feel like, oh my God, we're so far in the yeah. future. But, like, if you showed 2000 even, us, like, what we have now versus what was there,
yeah.
you and I were talking about GPS, you know what I mean? Like, having to know how to read a map.
Yeah.
Like, those are the things that are super interesting, is just to think about what has changed just in our lives, and then think about in the next 20 years, what else will have changed. And I mean, I think with VR, that probably is something that when we actually go in to do it, we will be like, holy crap, this is the future.
I'm
this
sure.
is way different than I anticipated.
I'm sure it's a great experience and exciting. I would spend the money. I didn't see how much the tickets are. I don't remember what the price was for
but
the Star
expensive.
Wars ones. It is a Disney experience, so I can only imagine with that comes a Disney price tag. But this one will be the next one sometime in November. It will be releasing, like we said, Wreck-It Ralph. Ralph Breaks the Internet comes out November 21st in theaters. They said it'd probably be around somewhere around the same time is when this game will come out. And then an experience after that I know Liam is going to be really excited for, even more than the Star Wars one.
Tron.
Oh, that would be really cool.
That should have been that would have been their lead off. That should have been the first thing.
After Wreck-It Ralph, it's going to be a Marvel experience.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's just going to completely change Liam's mind on which one he prefers to go to out of Star Wars and Disney. He's choosing Marvel, I already know. But that one will be sometime next spring, I want to say, or possibly in the summer, after Captain Marvel or the Avengers film. We also get a Spider-Man film. Who knows which one they will cover. I honestly think it's going to be something geared more towards Avengers. Whether that is to follow the Avengers 4 movie, probably not. But I think it would be some sort of mission that follows along with the Avengers. Because I think people would be more enticed to go see all of the Avengers than just one. Yes, I think people would come out for a Captain Marvel experience. But I think anybody would choose Avengers over just one hero, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. I would agree with that. And it looks like they start at about $30-$35.
That's not that bad, actually. I was expecting $60 was going to be the price for some reason. I don't know. I just thought this stuff was way more expensive. I don't know. But 30, I guess it sounds better. Half of what I thought. Starting at 30, is there like different things you can do for the prices? I don't understand.
No, I think it's pretty much just there's the secrets of the empire and like that is the...
That and that's per deal. Person, right?
Yeah, yeah. So
because you can go in groups, obviously. You want to go in with your friends. But per person, it's starting around $30.
Yeah.
And that's... like I said, I think November 12th was as far as the Star Wars tickets are going out.
Well, I looked for the weekend that we're going down in October for the Nightmare Before Christmas concert, and they still had tickets available.
Yeah, they do. So, but yeah. I kept clicking to see until they stopped showing.
Gotcha.
It was... sometime in like early to mid-November is when the Star Wars tickets are out. So if that is something you still want to see with the Star Wars Secrets of the Empire experience at the Void, go do that now. Like we said, it's in both Disney's shopping areas and it's in some malls across the country. But if you aren't Star Wars isn't your thing, you can wait for Wreck-It Ralph and that one will be sometime late November.
Nice.
Cool, cool, cool. So let's move it along to the next topic.
All right. So we're going to be talking about Earl of Sandwich. So I don't know how this one made the news. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
I mean, this is one which is it's cool because this was one of the shops that had closed down to make way for this luxury hotel. But now that that's been put on hold, it kind of does make sense that like, hey, why don't we just reopen some of this stuff so we can still give the guests something that they enjoy.
Well, that's the only reason why this one made the news is because I wanted to bring up the fact that why would Disney reopen something that they closed down, even though they plan to open that hotel? Do you think they are going to bend and actually move it to where it was supposed to go in the first place? Or do you think that getting the paper signed off for this luxury hotel is going to take way longer than they were anticipating to get the spot that they want? They obviously want it there, where Earl of Sandwich was, where
right.
the AMC theaters were, you know, up next to the Disneyland Hotel. That is the area that they want this hotel to go in. Therefore, all that stuff got closed down just like a month or two ago. And now that all of the paperwork fell through, Anaheim said, no, we're not doing this, because that is not the original spot you intended this to be. Money-wise, nothing fits anymore. Like, Disney, you can't, just because you have all this money and you are such a big name, you can't just call the shots. And so, now they're kind of at this war of, does Disney break and move to where they're supposed to go? Or does Disney just, you know, buckle down and ride out the wave and wait to see how long it's going to take for that paperwork to finally fall through?
Yeah, I mean, to me, I sort of feel like Disney has become this juggernaut that they're probably not going to bend.
Yeah.
I mean, even with this whole, the unions looking for more money and the negotiations that went on with that, the agreement with that even still benefited Disney in the back end. Especially with the whole like, oh, well, we're not going to take those tax breaks from the city of Anaheim anymore. There was still like a behind the scenes reason that still benefited Disney. And I feel like this is going to kind of play the same way where they're like, look, this is a shop that people enjoyed. We're not going to be able to move forward with this space at the time being anyways.
It's not demolished yet.
Yeah, it's not demolished. Just reopen it. Give the people what they want for a little bit longer.
Just open everything back up. Oh, no, that would probably cost way more money.
Oh, yeah. Well, but
employing
then,
all those people again, when they really want those jobs.
Yeah, you're playing with people's livelihood at that point.
Yes.
You're like, oh, wait, you're re-employed. Oh, now you're all fired again.
Because nothing's set in stone right now. They haven't even given us a date to when it's going to open. It's just coming soon is what they have said.
And they said it is going to be in the same spot?
It's in the same exact spot. It's opening up. Where it was, right next to, that was near AMC Theaters, right?
Yeah, it was right next to it. Yeah.
To the right of it, if you're looking at AMC Theaters. Left of it, I guess, from the building-wise. So yeah, Earl of Sandwich, we heard amazing things about it. That was one place we never ate at. I guess now we kind of have to. It's coming back. We have the opportunity. If for some reason it's open up in October when we go, I think we should give it a try. We'll probably be sad because maybe we'll find something delicious. We'll be like, it's going to be gone again.
Right.
But they have not given a date to when it's coming back, just it's coming soon. And they have not given a time to how long it will be there because they probably don't know either.
Oh, yeah, I would think so.
It'll probably stay open guaranteed 6 months, probably a year. Nice. I'm going to say. If you're going to reopen a business, why would you do it for less than a year?
Well, I mean, To spite the city,
maybe,
I guess.
Maybe. But then it's, like I said, one of those things where are you a Spirit Halloween store where you're giving these employees, all right, you're only going to get 2 months of work, but
maybe, or maybe they just flex those employees over to other shops.
Maybe
they're like, hey, you're gonna work at Earl of Sandwiches until we close it.
Yeah,
and then we're gonna move you down to one of the other restaurants.
I would imagine that's the only way you can bring somebody on.
Yeah,
because who would sign on for a, oh, but this isn't gonna be guaranteed, you know? So I don't know.
Students.
I know, yeah, students, yeah, who are in the area and then travel back home, it might work out. I don't know, it's a big thing. Earl of Sandwich. It's huge. It's going to be big. No. Or it is big.
It's going to be here for now.
Cool. So go try out Earl of Sandwich, and we'll get you that date as soon as they release it. Cool, cool, cool. Let's move it along to probably the most exciting news that I was, you know, ready to jump into. When I had come across this article, it was about Walt Disney, and one news station, I want to say in Missouri, put out this article, and they are lucky enough, obviously, to be in the hometown, I guess you can say, of Disney. Even though, no, he was not born in Missouri.
Yeah.
He grew up in Missouri. He grew up, I want to say,
Marceline,
most of it. Kansas City is where he grew up.
Yeah.
Moved to Marceline to then basically grow into the man that he had become, to start all of the companies that led him to Disney.
Yeah.
Or Walt, to his main, you know.
Yeah, until he moved to
Walt
Cali.
Disney Studios.
Yeah.
But yeah, so in Marceline, Missouri, you can find the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, I want to say. That's the one with Ub Iwerks that him and Ub started.
Yeah, the one at 31st and Truce.
Yeah, yes. 31st and Truce. So that, things like this, bucket list, man. Places.
Yeah.
I don't know why we'd ever want to go to Missouri, but that is a reason enough for me.
I'd say if we were doing like a cross-country drive just to like see a bunch of different states,
yes,
I would do it that way. If we were like, we'll drive to Florida, which is a terrible decision.
Or we'll drive to New York because
that's an even worse decision.
Because my fear of flying will come back. I don't know.
Probably will.
It does. You know, usually the night before we have to fly, but then we do it anyway.
And then as we're boarding the plane.
I'm just hyperventilating.
And then on the plane.
I'm hyperventilating a little bit, you know, squeezing Liam's arm, but he'll deal with the red marks.
Or punching my arm and saying, you did this to me.
What was that? Somebody came out of the restroom and we're sitting right next to it because for some reason I always have to sit next to the restroom.
It always reminds me of like that Calvin and Hobbes where Calvin goes to the doctors and he's like, what's that? Will it hurt? And he's like, it's a tongue depressor. You'll be fine. He's like, what's that? Will it hurt? He's like, it's a con ball. It's fine. He's like, what's that? Will it hurt? He's like, it's a branding iron. It hurts a little less than a cattle prod. And Calvin faints. And the doctor,
I don't know if I've ever read that.
Yeah, it's
one
of my favorite shows. The doctor's just like, it's got a weird sense of humor or something like that. But it's just like,
is that in one of the many books we have?
Oh, I'm sure it is. Yeah,
I don't know if I've ever come across that one.
No, it's super funny. But yeah,
awesome.
I always thought that was because I feel that's you on a plane. Like you're always like, what's that? Are we gonna die? What's that? What's happening?
So. That's happening in my head. I usually don't say it out loud because I don't want to scare the little ones around me. You know, I just really want to be an adult about the situation.
Well, they're all just screaming anyways. It doesn't matter.
Anyway, back to what we were talking about. If we ever get to Missouri, yes, I would love to go to Marceline. This is why I would love to see Laugh-O-Grams. I love that they're working on the building that Laugh-O-Gram Studios was actually in. They are trying to rejuvenate it. They're hoping within the next couple years, if they can get enough funds. Somebody's already working on it. I don't have his exact name because I should have wrote it down, but I didn't. I'm sorry. But to get to what I wanted to talk about was what Walt's plans were for Marceline, Missouri.
Right.
I mean, I know some of you probably already know this. His plan was to basically make another Disney park in Marceline. He had already bought up 40 acres of property.
That's nuts.
And he had an option to almost 300 acres of property.
This would have been massive.
This was going to be huge. Like, it was going to be bigger than Disneyland. It was, I imagine, bigger than Walt Disney World. It was going to be the park because this is where all of the dreams began. He would sit under a little tree and draw, think of all the crazy ideas in his head, all of the movies he wanted to put on screen. This is where it all started. But he also wanted to give back to Missouri. He wanted to show people what Missouri was about. And what it was going to be was basically a turn of the century farm so kids could remember where their food came from, things like that, like basically going down to the roots of this is why we live, guys, because of people who farm, things that go on right in your own hometowns, but obviously with a Disney spin on it. There was going to be a theme park there. It was just going to be mostly based on like farming and things you would get from Missouri.
I don't
That's not maybe like
say,
the most
know.
Exciting, but It would have been, because it would have been Disneyland with aspects of, you know, the real world, I guess you can say. It would have been like Tomorrowland, how you can go into interventions and they're trying to show you what the future of our, you know, the world could be. Like, look at this kitchen, look at this, you know, house. It, things like that, I would say, but actual reality.
Well, there you go. It's only 25 hours for us to drive from Fresno here to Kansas City.
Oh, good to know.
Good to know. That's not that far of a drive at all. No, I would have loved to have seen them do more with the area to sort of immortalize what like Walt Disney the person. But it seems like that they are already taking those steps. So I'll be excited to see what they come up with.
I'm definitely looking forward to it. I don't know. What is the weather like in Missouri?
Dry.
Yeah, no, like, what are the complications weather-wise there? What do they get? Tornadoes?
Yeah, it'd be Midwest, so you get tornadoes.
Okay, maybe not then. Yeah, I don't know if they could ever put a Disney there then.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think that would be, that's what they would look for when they're thinking of, are we ever going to build another park?
Right.
Where would it go?
Well, I mean, that was the dangers. That was the dangers out here with earthquakes, the dangers in Florida with hurricanes.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter where you build it, if you build it anywhere in the north, it's all going to be snow.
It's too cold. Yeah.
So you're limiting 3 to 6 months.
It will always be southern. Always, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think they will ever go north.
No.
So it will always be southern, but where? You know, where's that sweet spot? There really isn't. There's complications everywhere. There's scary things.
I would say Texas would probably be your best bet, but it would have to be pretty far inland. So.
Goodness gracious. So I don't know. I don't think we will ever see a Disneyland in Missouri. Or anything of that size. But I do imagine there is, you can go to, I think, the barn. They have that set up in Kansas City somewhere where you can go and take a trip to the Walt barn or whatever. I think they have one in California as well. But you can go see where he grew up. There's things like Laugh-O-Gram Studios in Marceline. So there are things that are dedicated to Walt Disney himself in these places. So if you're ever in Missouri, check it off your list.
Yeah, stop on by.
We will one day. So let's move it along to the Jungle Cruise. It has wrapped filming, which I feel like is really quick. I want to say just a few episodes ago, we said, hey, The Rock put out a video of we're starting filming on the Jungle Cruise. I want to say that was like 2 months ago. When I read it, it was 5 months. It's been 5 months. It does not feel like that.
Yeah. No, that's kind of nuts. But I guess that does make sense because most movies would wrap in less time than that. And then you have to figure there's a lot of CGI that has to go into the film post-production wise.
Right. Because this movie isn't set till next October.
Yeah.
So not this coming. We got a long time. Reshoots.
Always. Every movie
always
has
reshoots
these days.
Yeah. So it's October 11th, 2019 is what this is set. Probably could be moved up because or back these movies tend to do that. Even with a year out, things do change. I mean, look at Avengers. It changed within months of the time it was supposed to come out.
True. But it's also, I think it just depends on, I think it just sort of depends on what else is happening and whether or not they feel the need to move it up to fill another slot. Or if something else gets announced that they're like, okay, well, that's too similar. That's going to hurt us at the box office. Let's move it to another...
Good point.
To another spot. I kind of feel like that's what happened with Fox, with a lot of their properties. We're like, let's just move those to dates that aren't going to be as competitive. I mean, think about what happened earlier this year, from end of April going all the way through May. Like, I'm sure Avengers would have done way more if Deadpool hadn't come out 2 weeks later and then... Friggin' Solo came out the week after. So
yeah, good point. Maybe Solo would have done better too.
Oh, for sure. I think Solo should have been pushed later in the summer, or they should have just kept it as a December drop.
Yep, I think they should have. But that'll be Star Wars topics. But to touch on The Rock and Emily Blunt putting out a lovely little video.
The Rock, the Blunt.
I don't know. Does he go by The Rock anymore? Should we call him Dwayne? Like,
if they were a couple, would they be The Block?
Ooh. Yeah.
Or The Runt.
They wouldn't be The Runt, because have you seen Dwayne Johnson? Maybe we should start calling him Dwayne now.
I mean, his first name is Dwayne.
But he's got a cool wrestling name like The Rock. So, yeah, he wins.
I guess. I don't understand. Was he cooking up rock soup? Is that why we had to smell what the rock was cooking?
It makes sense.
I guess.
Did you smell what the rock was cooking?
Have you had rock soup? You can't really smell it.
Or taste it. Yeah. I don't think there's any flavors in there besides the rock. The dirt that falls off of the rock.
Hey, it's a clean rock. So is this one that you're excited about? I mean, we had a discussion with Gavin. And I mean, to some degree with Josh even on text, of having rides that are constantly being turned into IPs to the point that now you're not going to have any more rides that are just rides. Like Autopia, we're counting down until they do an Autopia the ride.
Yeah, it's called Fast and the Furious. The Rock did that one too. He's actually getting a spinoff.
I feel like they took a couple creative liberties for that one. But you know what I mean? Like you're kind of getting to that point where like you're not going to have these rides be standalones. So is this one that you're excited about, or do you feel like this is going to be another Haunted Mansion?
I hope it's not another Haunted Mansion. I wanted to love Haunted Mansion more.
And there is somebody that's listening right now.
That I did. Hey! What? I love Haunted Mansion. No. It's enjoyable. It's just not. When you think about what we got for Pirates, it needed to be on that level. It needed to be the caliber of what Pirates gave us. Pirates are still some of my favorite live-action Disney movies.
Yeah,
they're
for sure.
Epic. And when that first one came out, you know we were all pooping our pants in that theater. Like, oh my God, this movie is so great. It's Johnny Depp. He's in his prime.
I don't know if I pooped my pants, but I have a little more insight on you as a person now. But see, but that's the thing with Haunted Mansion. It wasn't that it was like a good movie or an enjoyable movie. It was like a typical Eddie Murphy for the time movie.
It was.
Like, it was right along the same lines as Nutty Professor and The Clumps or whatever.
But
like,
that's
all
why
of
they
those
needed
movies.
To go a different route.
Yeah, because it didn't
need to fall into an Eddie Murphy movie.
Yes,
it needed to be a Disney production. Like, yeah. We're putting everything into this film, pulling out all the stops. It did not feel that way. And neither did Country Bears, and neither did...
Oh, God.
What was the other one that was around that time? Oh, it might just be those two that I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Anyway, when it's something like your ride attractions, and especially something like Jungle Cruise that was there on opening day, this is something that Walt himself had a touch on. You know, like...
Yeah.
It needs to be amazing. It needs to be as epic as Pirates was. I'm hoping this is the next Pirates franchise. Honestly, I really do. And whether it goes with just one movie or if we get a trilogy out of it or whatever the heck they want to do with it, 10 movies in 10 years, because that's the thing.
Right.
I don't know. I really want Jungle Cruise to be as awesome as Pirates was.
Are you looking forward to be epic or just fun?
Both.
Both.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think if people love things like Indiana Jones,
yeah,
it'll fall in that category. But it'll also fall into the Pirates adventure. Well, so is Indiana Jones. They're all adventure films. Like, that's kind of what they are.
But I feel like you need
excitement,
to be...
Excitement, thrill. And it does need to be funny.
Yeah, but I think that's where it gets tough, is because you need the film, in my estimation. When you think of Indiana Jones, you think of Pirates, right? These movies are more epic than they are funny. Like, they are mostly epic with a little
Pirates
bit of funny.
Yeah, but Pirates is pretty funny.
It is, but... It's still mostly epic, right?
Yeah.
Like, majority of the movie, the music, the fight scenes.
Oh.
And then there is funny that is dialed in, but it is not primarily funny. Haunted Mansion was primarily funny, which is why
right.
I think that failed. And then with this, when you think of The Rock, you think of Emily Blunt. Like, my fear is that it is going to be primarily funny.
I don't think it'll
with
be
a little
funny.
Bit of action. Mm-mm. But I want it to be more action. But then when I think about that ride, it is funny.
It is.
It's not really an action ride, right? Like,
well, no.
When you think about it is literally the entire ride
is
just jokes.
Jungle Cruise. We're going to get actual animals. We're going to get an adventure.
Right. But think about
the storyline follows along, which every other jungle story follows along, which is let's find a tree or let's find a well that will give us eternal life. Every adventure film set in the jungle or rainforest. Is always looking for the fountain of youth.
But they already did
even
that.
Even Pirates
did
that.
Yeah, but they already did that with Pirates. But that's kind of my point with Jungle Cruise as a ride. If you just rode the ride and they were just like, and here's some hippos, and here is a zebra, and here is some headhunters, the ride would be pretty crappy. But because it has these jokes.
That would be the zoo, and that's actually not crappy at all.
Yeah, but the zoo has real animals. So
look at this mechanical animal.
Yeah, like you think about the part where the piranhas leap up, and you're just animal. Like, oh, there's water being spurted at me. They're great. So, but that's what I'm saying is like, it is tough because the ride itself hinges on the comedic aspect. So how do you still balance the comedy with the action? So I'll be interested to see how they pull it off.
Does both. He is comedic and I don't know if you've seen him lately, but he's kind of all muscle.
See, but and I know you're being facetious, but think about like with, what was that movie? Central Intelligence, the one he did with Kevin Hart.
That's funny.
It wasn't though. It wasn't that funny and it wasn't good action wise either. It was pretty dumb the entire time. And that, to me, that's where my concern comes from.
He's wrong, guys. Don't worry.
Watch him in like, or not watch him, but you hear him in like Moana and he's fantastic. It's so good. There's funny, there's action, there's everything, but it's animated. And I think with this, that's my concern, is that it is...
I do not think it'll feel like Central Intelligence.
No, but...
I don't think it'll feel like any of those types of movies he's done.
But it could feel like Jumanji, and I had no interest to go see that new Jumanji
movie. I actually
movie.
Had a lot of interest to see Jumanji.
See, I feel like that... This movie is probably going to be more up your alley than it is going to be
mine.
So
I will enjoy it, you will sit through it, and you will be kind.
I'll try my hardest.
No, I think... Honestly, I think Disney is going to hope for the best with this one. I think they're going to hope for the next Pirates franchise. And I bet you anything within the next couple months, we're going to get a crap ton of promotion for this movie.
Oh, yeah.
It is going to be their next big live action
blockbuster. I'm sure they'll push pretty heavy for it. I mean, honestly, they're going to need to, in my estimation. I mean, I'll still go see it. I'll still see it opening night. But like I said, I don't have high hopes for it. So
I do. So there you go. We'll come back October 11th, 2019. What is next year?
Yeah, 2019.
I was going to say 2020. Goodness gracious, I'm ahead always.
So that's all for the Disney news. So you guys let us know what you think. Are you excited for Disney, for the Jungle Cruise? Would you make a trip out to Marceline, Missouri, Kansas City to be able to go and see the Laugh-O-Gram Studios? Are you excited to see Earl of Sandwich reopen? And then had you even gone to see the Secrets of the Empire VR? And if you have, what did you think? And are you excited for an update for it with Ralph Breaks the VR?
I am.
Nice. Perfect. So we'll move it into some Marvel news. So Brie Larson has been scheduled to make an appearance on Good Morning America this Tuesday. And so as we all anxiously await our first look at Marvel's newest heavy hitter, we're thinking this is probably just going to be a teaser. We don't think this is going to be a full-blown trailer, especially with Venom coming up in the next couple weeks. My guess would be that they'll probably do the full trailer with Venom, but you were kind of the one that touched on this. It'll probably be just a teaser since we have gotten nothing as of yet.
At least a minute. I don't think it's going to be longer than a minute.
Yeah.
And if it is, it'll be around that ballpark, under, maybe slightly over. I don't think it's going to be that 2.5 minute trailer that you get that you're like, whoa, I know everything, the plot, and oh my gosh, I don't even have to see this movie in theaters because everything was put into it. Just kidding. Marvel's actually pretty good about their trailers and not ruining things, thank goodness. But they're also great with giving us just enough to kind of wet your whistle and look, buy all of the Captain Marvel merch, start reading the comics. Like, everybody will be... They already are. They're already diving into this character if they weren't before.
Right.
So I think with hopefully a trailer coming out Tuesday, I mean, it's going around the internet. Everybody's kind of talking about the fact that since she's going to be on Good Morning America, more than likely they're going to talk about... They're going to give us something.
Well, yeah, they have to.
I mean, they don't have to, but they probably will.
I feel... Well, I mean, at that point, you're building up a lot of suspense for nothing, right? I mean, there were even people complaining about the whole, like, oh, let's break the internet, Entertainment Weekly, and then they released it, and it was like, well, I didn't really break anything, but it was cool to finally get a first look.
I want to go ahead and sit here and say that if you were one of the people who were like, shouldn't break the internet, I'm annoyed now. Really? That's what I waited for? I don't care what you got, because she doesn't owe you anything. Marvel doesn't owe you anything. They don't have to give us trailers. They don't have to give us promotional art.
Well, they kind of do if they want to get people to see a movie.
They do if they want the big numbers.
Yeah.
But if they're kind of like, hey, we're going to put out this great movie, come see it if you want to, you don't have to because Marvel isn't everybody's cup of tea.
But also when you think about it, if they did that especially for this movie, like, you would have a backlash because they'd be like, why didn't you promote this female-led movie?
Oh, they're going to promote the crap out of this movie.
Honestly, if something happens
on Good Morning America, from here it's going to be the spiral into Captain Marvel.
Right. Oh, heck yeah.
Mayhem.
Well,
Captain Marvel mayhem.
Right. The way I look at it is you have to strike first. You have to strike early for this one because as soon as you start releasing stuff for Avengers 4, this is going to start to fall to the wayside. There's going to be a lot of buzz for Avengers 4 that I think will overwhelm this. So I think you do need to get early. At least a couple weeks. And people are saying that we could more than likely see something as early as November for Avengers 4.
I don't know. Maybe a teaser there also. I don't...
Well, remember, they're only 2 months away away from one another. You get March 8th.
It's true, but May 3rd. I think this one needs more promoting than Avengers 4 does.
Oh, heck yeah.
Infinity War promotes the crap out of Avengers 4. They don't need to put anything out for that, and people will show up to Avengers 4.
Yeah.
Like, they don't. They really don't.
Heck, we showed up a week early, and all they had to do was tweet about it.
Yeah,
so,
that's it.
Yeah. I'm expecting this to be a teaser at least. If they go full fledged trailer, like, I'll be a happy camper.
That'd be
but,
pretty cool. I mean, I'm not expecting it.
Yeah, but I would imagine at this point they've got to give us something because we are about 6 months out.
Yep. So keep your eyes out for Tuesday morning, Good Morning America. We will do our best to get that trailer on the Instagrams and the Twitters as soon as possible. And then more than likely, we'll probably have an episode to talk about it if a trailer does come out.
Yeah. If we get some nice new things out of there.
Cool.
If they give us some new toys to play with.
Then nothing. It's just going to be her talking about, like, I'm just really excited to play Captain Marvel.
Actually, I have this other movie coming out.
What?
Right. So Andy Park, who is an awesome, awesome follow on Instagram. So if you go to Andy Park Art, so AndyParkArt, he actually recently released some unused concept art for Mantis. And then he's actually done that for a lot of the characters as we've seen concept, as we've seen finished characters come out, he will release the concept art. And this was actually approved concept art for Mantis, where her costume was different. It was definitely more... No, I don't want to say Ravagers-esque, but it definitely has more of maybe like more Gamora-esque in terms of her costume. Her antennae were more insect-like. She had ridges on her face that made her look far more insect. And that was actually fully approved. And then during the conceptual stages as they were going through production, that's when they started to smooth it out a little bit, give her more of a regal approach to the way that she was. So... it's very interesting to see to see where they started and where they ended. And then it would have been cool to know where in the process eventually James Gunn was like, actually, we're going to change it to this. So I thought that art was really, really cool. So if you guys want to check that out, it's just Andy Park Art. So AndyParkArt. And then along with that, with our little bit of Avengers 4 news, Karen Gillan, as everybody should know, plays Nebula, has gone on and says that she has a new best friend in Avengers 4. So some people have surmised,
Tony?
Right? Some people have surmised that she just gets along really well with Pom Klementieff, the actress that plays Mantis. So people are saying that it's probably just them being buddy-buddy off screen, because if you've seen Infinity War, you kind of know what happens to Mantis. So you could say that probably not a lot of on-screen antics between the two of them. But other people are saying that maybe she does build up some sort of a friendship with one of the other Avengers. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how this plays out. I think it would be a lot of fun to see her and Rocket kind of build that friendship, because you have to figure, you know... sorry, I guess spoiler alerts for Infinity War, but I mean, those are really the only Guardians that we have left, because we don't have Drax, we don't have Star-Lord, we don't have Mantis, we don't have Groot. So I mean, like, we've lost everybody else, so it's just Rocket and it's just Nebula, and we know Rocket's fascination with all things mechanics, so it would be really interesting to see the two of them kind of team up. We've gotten snippets of that in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, but maybe they broaden that a little bit more.
Cool. I'm looking forward to it.
Perfect. So the last bit of Marvel news we have, this is actually across two sets. So we've got, obviously, the upcoming Marvel Rising Secret Warriors, which will premiere Sunday, September 30th at 10 p.m., which obviously follow, I shouldn't say obviously, but for those that have seen the trailer for it, we've seen Squirrel Girl, we've seen Patriot, we've seen, I think they call her Spider Ghost, or I always think of her, or Ghost Spider, I always think of her as Spider Gwen, Kamala Khan's Miss Marvel. So it's a bunch of the younger characters all kind of bridged together in this Secret Warriors Marvel Rising. So I'm really excited for this cartoon. I think that it is going to highlight some characters that, for those that are fans of the comics, will be real familiar with, but anybody outside of that, which you know, if you've only ever played the video games, or if you pretty much just watched movies in the MCU, or maybe Netflix, this will give you that opportunity to kind of wet your palate with some more some characters that you hadn't seen before. And then also what's also going to be really cool is that Marvel's Avengers Black Panther's Quest, which will come out Sunday, September 23rd, so a week before Secret Warriors, at 9 p.m. And that'll become the newest addition to Marvel's ever-growing cartoon lineup on Disney XD. So you can catch both of these shows on XD with Black Panther's Quest will actually be the fifth season of Avengers Assemble, which obviously is really awesome because that's a cartoon that, that the fact that it's been running as many years as it has is really, really fun. I'm hoping that they finally let us catch up on a lot of this on Sling TV or on Hulu or Netflix, because I'd like to catch up and see some of the other seasons because I really only ever watched the first two. So just as a reminder, for both of those, you can catch the fifth season of Marvel's Avengers, Black Panther's Quest, Sunday 9:23 at 9 p.m., and then Marvel Rising Secret Warriors, Sunday 9:30 at 10 p.m. And that's all that I had for Marvel news. How about for Star Wars?
What? No. There's got to be more Marvel news.
No. Three topics that we were supposed to keep it to, but no, Disney always gets four.
I mean, Disney kind of gets all of the topics because technically it is the umbrella.
So they technically get 10 topics because they get the four for Disney, the three for Marvel, and the three for Star Wars.
I'm okay with that. So let's talk about Star Wars. And this one I'm really excited about because I'm more pumped for this show the more things that they release for it.
Yeah.
Star Wars Resistance?
No.
If you guys don't know what I was talking about.
Yeah, in case you guys weren't sure. Which is really interesting too, because there'll be three weekends in a row that you'll have premieres.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me. So you'll have Black Panther Quest on the 23rd, you'll have Secret Warriors on the 30th, and then on October 7th, you get Star Wars Resistance, which has been the much talked about and I guess the much complained about.
Yeah, I mean, it's Star Wars.
True, which, you know, at this point, I think we're kind of used to it. But what was really cool about this new feature is that it actually shows the aces, right, for Star Wars Resistance. So the show as it has been pitched thus far has always kind of hinged around that Kazuda, Kaz, Ziono, and the rest of Team Fireball aboard the, I guess it's the base Colossus. And he is basically like a spy in training. And we've seen Poe Dameron. We've been introduced to a handful of other characters like Yeager. That's weird. They're calling him Yeager, not Yeager. But Yeager. And what I thought was kind of interesting about this is that the Aces teaser gives us a better introduction to what else is going on this base.
Yeah. I mean, when they showed the Aces little Dave Filoni, you know, starting it out with, these are the aces of the show. For some reason, it made it seem like, yeah, these are your guys. Like, I wasn't even thinking about Kazuda.
Yeah.
Like, he is the main character, right?
Right, right.
So I'm not even caring about him right now. Honestly, I would watch a show just on these five people.
And what's really interesting about this, too, is so we were introduced to Tora Doza, who is the daughter of the commander of the base, is what it seems like. And she's probably she is the ace pilot. She's pretty confident of herself. We've seen her kind of teasing Kaz to some point. We also get introduced to.
But I think she's the more light, positive side of the group as well, though.
She's fun. She's easygoing, kind of fun loving and whatnot. Mm-hmm. We get also introduced to Hype Faison, voiced by Donald Faison,
that's
which
awesome.
Is super funny. Who is actually a Rodian, which I thought was really interesting. But he's very confident, almost overtly confident.
He's more on the cocky side because he knows he's great.
Yes, and he's your typical Donald Faison type.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's Turk from Scrubs.
I didn't watch Scrubs.
I know you didn't.
But when you watch this little short, if you haven't, who is the... I think Filoni was the one who said it was the first time he actually based a character off of the voice actor.
Yeah.
He knew he wanted Faison, so they named him, what is it, Hype
Faison.
Faison.
So when he walked in, he's like, what's my guy's name? They're like, Hype Faison. He's like, Faison? Like, he got all super pumped.
Awesome.
So I dig that. I really like that. I like that aspect of it. Griff Halloran is an ex-Imperial pilot who he wears like the Imperial TIE pilot helmet.
Very interesting.
But he's like, painted a white skull almost on the front of it, which I thought was really cool. Griff is very gruff, as you would imagine. He's kind of the loner.
Scary one.
Yeah, much
doesn't
more quiet.
Doesn't talk to people.
Reserved, if you will. We also got Freya Fenris, who is the typical Russian.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah. That.
Like, I am very much by the book. I'm trying to get this job done, and when this job is done, I look for what is the next job. She's very regimented.
Yes, I don't need friends. I'm here to do the job. Let's get it done. But she will have your back if she needs to, because like you said, it's by the book.
And then Bo Keevil is the last one, which he seems to be a silent character.
Yeah.
But he is your evil Knievel, obviously Bo Keevil. His ship is always crashing, falling apart. The wing arrangements can change. Uh-huh. So I like this. I like that it's a eclectic group of characters, that they all bring something different to the table. And I like that it is very much centered around this pilot. Like, the racing, not pod racing, but these are actual pilots that this is how they entertain themselves when they're not being attacked or going out on missions. They race, and that's how they make money. I mean, Hype Faison, his ship has a ton of sponsors. His flight suit has a bunch of sponsors on it, as though he is a NASCAR racer. So I like it. What do you think?
I'm excited. Like we said earlier, when they released the original trailer for the show, it got a lot of mixed reviews. A lot of people probably more on the negative side because of the animation style. And same for us. It was kind of hard to watch parts of it. It looks great visually. The ships, the space, everything looks awesome. I love the style. But then when you get to the actual characters themselves, it's kind of a little bit rough around the edges because there's not edges. I don't know. Right. Like, their faces aren't really defined. But I think when you see this, if you were iffy about it, watch this. Watch how excited these voice actors are about this. Watch how Dave Filoni, and I don't remember the guy's name, but the executive producer as well, he's just so pumped for the show. I think it's like Michael something. But it's got me pumped for the show. We're not looking at Jedi. We're going into a different part of, you know, what Star Wars is. There's so much more out there. It's still a kids' cartoon, so yes, it is still geared towards the kids. But hey, so was The Clone Wars, and so was Rebels. But people love it still.
Yeah.
You know, people of all ages still love these shows. I think it's going to be the same for this. I think they will win us over eventually. I'm pumped. I think it looks more exciting than Rebels did.
Oh, heck yeah. Well, I'm more excited about the dogfights. I'm more excited about the flying. That all looks phenomenal.
The team aspect of it.
Yeah, for sure. Like, cool. The group of pilots. I mean, I'm excited for that. The Kaz part might be the less exciting
aspect for me. But maybe they're saving the best for last. Like, he might be a super interesting character.
Or maybe the balance between the two. Like, you get the racing, you get the dogfights, but then you also get the espionage. So we'll see. I'm excited.
Don't worry. I'm sure they're going to end up giving him a lightsaber and making all of you guys fall in love with him, because apparently you can't have Star Wars without lightsabers.
Without Jedi. So with that one, you'll actually see that. That'll be coming out also on Disney XD, and that premieres Sunday, October 7th. So prepare yourselves for 3 weeks back to back to back of new cartoons. So,
and we have XD now.
I know. So we can actually enjoy it. So there you go.
That is exciting.
Nice. So the next little bit of news that we've got here actually concerns the Solo digital release. So to coincide with that, John Kasdan, who was one of the co-writers, posted a list of fun facts on Twitter about development, some of the productions, and then also included some of the scenes that made it out of the original version, as well as some alternate scenes. So the opening sequence that had...
spoilers.
Right. The opening sequence that had Han and Kira kind of racing along the streets of Coronet City, originally intended for Lord and Miller. That was their idea on how to open up the film. So it was really cool that they had that. L337 was also part of the creation. The dynamic between Kira and Han, that was all Lord and Miller. So when we went back in and we found out that Ron Howard had done like 70% of the film had been reshot, I think people sort of assumed that majority of the core essence of the film was completely lost. So it was a completely different film. But it seems like with what John Kasdan was saying is that a lot of it did, like the fingerprints, kind of what you and I said about Ant-Man when Edgar Wright stepped away and they brought in, oh my gosh.
Why
am I forgetting his name?
It'll come to you. Keep going.
Anyways, when they brought in the director to replace him, you could still feel the fingerprints, the way that certain things were shot, the way that certain characters were developed, like obviously with Luis. Like, I think that his, the whole flashbacks and him talking everybody's parts when he's retelling
right,
the story.
Right, that was awesome.
To me, I felt like that was very Edgar Wright. Peyton Reed for Ant-Man. I didn't know you were about to look it up.
Yes,
yeah,
I was
Peyton
looking
Reed.
It up.
So it was, to me, I think that I haven't seen enough with Lord and Miller, like, live-action-wise. Like, I know they did the Lego movie and whatnot, but...
did they? I think I've always forget that.
Yeah, they did the Lego movie. So you could feel where, like, the humor side of things were definitely put in there. But I thought it was really interesting that John Kasdan would kind of put that out. But I also wondered, and people were kind of surmising, if he put all this out because he was sort of saying goodbye to that as a possibility of a sequel. That he was kind of like, well, here's all the information and all the things you guys probably will never get because there won't be a sequel of this. And when asked about that, he even said, well, yeah, because of the way that the money situation is, that kind of does dictate whether or not we get a sequel. But if there's any character that wouldn't care about the odds of getting a sequel, Han Solo's the character. So I really liked that he kind of threw that in, that he was just like, look, odds be damned. If they're going to do a sequel, Han will make it happen. So I like that.
Yeah, I do like that. It's just, I don't know. It's always a tough sore spot for me, I guess I should say, because I'm just bummed that it didn't do better than it did. I wanted Solo to be so much better. And I know people were questioning even before The Last Jedi and the reviews from that. I know people were always iffy of like, really? Like a Han Solo movie? Is that one we needed?
Yeah,
so it wasn't
yeah.
even The Last Jedi alone. It was just kind of everything mixed together. Nothing was working in its favor, especially changing things over, like directors. The fact that Miller and Lord were no longer on it. I feel like releasing this type of stuff about like, hey, there was so much of Miller and Lord on this movie and Ron Howard just reshot some of the stuff. It's kind of like, I feel like that's even a bigger slap in the face a little bit, because I was kind of like, well, why couldn't you just let them do the damn movie?
Well, yeah, but I think that has been the crux of the issues that we've had with Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
Where after JJ, like every director has had some sort of issue, or Kathleen Kennedy has some sort of issue, other than Rian Johnson, which then the fans took issue with, right?
Yeah.
So like Colin Trevorrow removed from Episode 9, right? Gareth Edwards, they came in and reshot like 40% of the movie, and they didn't even let him reshoot it. They brought a completely different director in to do it. I can't think of the director's name. But basically changed the entire Act 3 because that's what the studio wanted. So, I mean, I think you've run up against these issues where Kathleen Kennedy or like the figureheads at the top kind of have their vision of Star Wars. And I almost want to be like, then you guys just direct it.
Yeah,
you have your own vision,
your
like you guys just do it. Which, why not? Let Kathleen Kennedy direct a film. She's been around them for...
She's done it, right?
In time immemorial. So,
or she only produced.
She's been producing films, yeah. So
She's never been a director.
Yeah,
she's only
director.
Produced them, yeah.
So, I don't know. For me, I'm still excited for this film to come out on Blu-ray because we both really enjoyed it when
yeah.
we saw it in the theaters. And
which
we just
around
didn't
the
get
corner.
The chance to go back and see it a second time. But I'm excited to see this one and go back and pick up some of the nuances and see the special features, the cutscenes, the gag reels, all the good stuff.
I enjoyed the cast. I'm pumped. And I was really pleasantly surprised by Alden Ehrenreich. I enjoyed him as a Han Solo.
Agreed.
The more it went along, I don't think it was Lando stole the show, which everybody assumed so. I think freaking Han was
own.
Han.
Yeah. I think Chewie stole the show, if anything. Chewie was the best.
But Chewie always steals the show.
And I loved...
With Harrison's Chewie... Still
show. Was it the Wind Riders? Was that group that was also trying to steal the MacGuffin, whatever it was called, the Coaxium?
Yeah, it could be.
I think
be.
It was like Wind Riders. I liked them. I liked Enris Nest. Enfys Nest. I loved her design.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I thought that was really,
very
really cool.
Very impressive.
Well done.
Different style. Like I don't think you would expect that so much in Star Wars or a space film, but it worked. They made it work. So, Outriders, I guess.
Yeah, we'll see.
It might be Wind Riders, yeah.
So with that one, it is available right now on digital, but you'll be able to get it in Blu-ray 2 weeks. That's usually what they always do. So.
Yep. What is it, like the 20th?
I think it'll by the time you guys are listening to this, it'll be a week from tomorrow.
The 18th?
Yes.
Oh, no, I mean the 25th. The 25th.
Yes.
Cool.
Perfect.
I'm looking forward to it.
Nice. So the last bit of Star Wars news. This one is mostly rumors. So there has been... bountiful amount of rumors. A lot of them have been, the, even the person writing the rumor has said, please take this with a grain of salt, which I think at this point everybody knows to do. I don't think anybody's looking at Star Wars rumors and going, well, this is gospel. This is absolutely the truth.
Nobody's looking at a Mark Hamill tweet and like, this is going to mean something.
Right? Yeah, seriously. Well, with his Instagram tweets where it's like the
purpose.
To be continued purpose of, and that's it. So
life.
We'll, yeah. So we'll see where we go with that one. But some of the rumors that we've gotten is, we've seen images where it's Poe Dameron and Finn, FN-128.
FN-1287.
FN-2187. Got it. Teamwork makes the dream work. So we've seen them kind of like on a hillside riding like very shaggy horses at one point. And a lot of what's been alluded to is the idea of guerrilla war tactics, that they're going to go back to like the ideas of like hit and run, especially with the smaller band of rebels that, or resistance, if you will, that they have available now. And a lot of it is going to be them trying to go like to alternate planets to try to find additional troops, additional support that's going to sort of join in on the fight. I see that completely making sense. Uh-huh. I mean, that's not to say that that's definitely where it's going, but it makes sense, right?
Because it goes along the lines of you don't necessarily have to be a Jedi. You don't have to have Force-sensitive powers. You could just be against what the Empire is doing.
Yeah.
And that's enough.
Exactly. Which I think that that's more relatable.
Yes.
Than
I like that.
Wizards with laser
Let's
swords,
do it.
Right? Yeah. Another part of the – another big rumor that's been coming out is the idea that Daisy Ridley and Adam Driver were called in to do what was referred to as an intimate and emotional scene. So,
it's a love scene? I mean, yeah. I just
– So a lot of people
this one's rated R.
Right. Ooh. So a lot of people are tagging this as a possible Reylo resurgence that we'll see more of the relationship build between the two of them. Personally, I don't really see that being like a romance thing.
No.
Because I never felt that when J.J. introduced the characters in The Force Awakens.
Right.
So I can't imagine that he would take what Rian Johnson did in Last Jedi and just continue on with that. I think he would have laid the groundwork in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
But we could be completely wrong. I mean,
I don't think it'll be a love thing. I don't see that happening. I think it will be, I feel for you. It's going to be kind of what they left off on. Like
unfinished business.
Like, gosh, dang it. Like, we could have been on the same team. Kylo's looking at it as if we could have ruled this new order together. You know, we could have done something different with it. She's looking at it as I could have saved him.
Yeah.
I think she wants to save him. And I'm hoping that's where it's going to get to. I don't want her to be angry, but I mean, if she's going with the Force, she can't be.
Right. Well, she can be.
She can
just
be.
She's
but
using
then,
both sides at that point.
Which, then there's that term of the gray Jedi that people hate.
Yeah. Well, but also the idea that the Jedi needs to not exist because Jedi as a concept doesn't work.
It doesn't.
Yeah, Luke has said.
People cannot be all good.
Yeah.
It's just not a thing.
Yoda burned down a tree for it, so why not?
But no, I'm okay with that relationship going. I just don't, it's not going to be a romantic relationship.
No, I wouldn't
think so. Come on.
And what's kind of interesting, too, is kind of a continuation with, at least with Rey, is now you have to figure the lightsaber that she had has been snapped in two. So she doesn't have the lightsaber anymore. So a lot of people
she's
are thinking.
She's going to build one?
Exactly. She's going to have to build one. I don't think she's going to randomly gain access to Luke's green lightsaber from Return of the Jedi. I do think that she'll construct one from scratch. And what people have been saying is because she was so proficient with a staff in The Force Awakens that they're assuming that she will build a double-bladed
lightsaber. Like a ball saber.
But we'll finally get like that Satil like double.
Do it! I'm okay with that. And then I feel like that would be amazing, and then you're going to get all those other people who are like, no, she shouldn't get one. It should be a dude who gets a double lightsaber.
Well, we've already seen a dude with a double lightsaber.
Yeah, but dudes will be dudes.
Well, the only other way, she has to get a quadruple saber, because now that we've got three blades
got
with Kylo,
we
she needs
to
four.
Make it better.
The only other
Can
thing,
they come out of her shoes?
Right. Like, was she X-23?
X-23.
The only other thing I could think of is that she'll have like the staff, and then she'll have the blade that comes out at the end of the staff.
Yeah.
So it's not double bladed, but it is like a staff blade, which we've seen it in the books. But I'd be interested to see
cool.
if we have that.
I'm
in the
still
movies.
Down for a double bladed for her.
Same.
I think that'd be pretty BA.
Yeah, I'm definitely down for that. Another rumor that has been coming out is the idea that now that Kylo Ren is in charge, that he'll bring back the clone troopers, finding that regular troopers have become increasingly inefficient. and that he will now grow his own trippers.
It makes sense. The clones worked because they all had the same freaking mindset.
Yeah.
Like, it worked. Yeah. It was kind of brilliant.
Well, you could breed out certain personality traits, right? Like, you want them to be obedient.
I mean, as awesome as it was to see a bunch of, you know, different people being troopers, that was epic. I love that. But now they're seeing what works. And Kylo, you're not stupid. You know, he's going to figure it out.
And what's interesting is this kind of ties into the next little bit of information is that, and guys, obviously spoiler alert on all of this, but take it all with a grain of salt. There have been rumors of a traitor in the midst of the First Order, and people obviously have been bouncing back and forth. Like maybe it'll be a new character, like maybe, Dominic Monaghan's character, or, you know, maybe you bring back DJ and then this time he betrays the First Order as opposed to the Resistance. So people have been kind of coming back and forth with that. But one name that continues to pop up above the rest is General Hux. So when you think, obviously him and Kylo Ren have had a contentious relationship throughout the last two movies that we've seen. And I can imagine that Hux is not super pumped that Kylo is now going to be in charge of the First Order. So you could see that if Kylo does start implementing clone troopers, it would be cool to see a division within the First Order where there is Kylo, his Knights of Ren, and the clone troopers versus General Hux, the typical officers, and then his recruited troopers as well.
So that's kind of interesting.
And if anything, you could see Hux giving information to the Resistance solely to undermine Kylo Ren while he tries to prove that Ren was the one that killed Snoke, which obviously would drive a huge wedge between the factions of the First Order.
To keep following Kylo, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I actually like that kind of the rumor. If that's the way it goes, it works. I can see Hux being that big of a D-bag to just be, I'm mad at you, you've pissed me off, I am now going to put everybody against you. And how do you do it?
And honestly, when you really think about it, that's a little bit reminiscent of Return of the Jedi, right? Where the Empire sort of falls from within.
Uh-huh.
Because you have Darth Vader throwing the Emperor into the reactor. So you could see a little bit of like that same callback,
I'm okay with that.
So I'm interested in seeing
that.
That
even goes to like Age
out.
Of Ultron and you breaking Civil War, breaking the Avengers down from the inside. Like that's such a great story. You put everybody against each other.
Yeah.
I am okay with that. And Hux, I feel like, is a believable character to do that. But I think a lot of people will be a little bit pissed off about it because they're like, really? He was such the joke of the Last Jedi and now he's going to be the traitor of the... Because I feel like 501st people are just so... Troopers are... The dark side is the best and they can't... They would never do that. And
are you bashing the 501st right now?
Kind of.
Really?
I am. Just
really?
A
You're hurting my feelings.
I'm hurting your specific feelings a little bit right now because you guys do this. You guys... And I'm not you as much,
right.
But you do. It's... No, guys. Troopers aren't the coolest things ever on Earth. They're pretty cool, but they're not the coolest, especially when you're compared to a Jedi. You're going to take a Jedi, you're going to take a trooper. Be real, you're going to take that lightsaber day.
But most people are like, but the Sith is cooler. I'd rather be Darth Maul than Obi-Wan. I'd rather be Darth Vader than
I feel like a lot
Qui-Gon,
of people like to say that they're more dark. I feel like that's the cool thing, is to be dark.
Well, but it's the same thing with Empire Strikes Back is the best Star Wars movie. But when you were a kid, that wasn't the one that stood out for you. When you were a kid, you were into New Hope or Return of the Jedi.
Right.
But as you got older and you started to appreciate... And if anything, we become cynics as we age.
You do.
Yeah, we become darker versions of the people we were as children.
But I think that's where it will go. I think people, not just saying 501st, but Star Wars fans in general... will be upset if they see the dark side, if they see the troopers, if they see the Imperials.
What, fall from within?
Fall from within, because I feel like they think that's not a possibility.
Well,
and it's actually...
Well, I think if anything, you would think it's more of a possibility now because of what Rian Johnson did with the General Hux character in Last Jedi. Because, like you just said, you made him the butt of every single joke.
Mm-hmm.
You turned him into a farce of what he was in The Force Awakens. So you could totally see that guy coming back around and being like, I'm pissed. Like... You threw me around a room and choked me out. Like, this is stupid.
But I don't think they would like the idea of him going and being kind of the tattletale and being the rat. I don't think they would like that. I just don't see a Star Wars fan who's complaining about The Last Jedi being one to like the scenario. Well, not, I would love
but
it.
But they're not going to like any aspect of episode 9. Like if you're,
right?
If, yeah,
that's
no,
true.
If you hated The Last Jedi and you hated Solo and you hated Rogue One and you hated The Force Awakens, I honestly don't believe that there's anything that episode 9 can do that's going to sway that person mm-hmm. back over. But I don't think they're trying to cater this film to that person. I think right. that they're going, what do we, if I'm J.J. Abrams, I go, okay, well, how do I take what Rian Johnson did to my movie
yeah.
and how do I get it full circle? I don't think he's looking at it as like, how do I fix it?
No.
That's not what
no.
he's been telling. How do I take the characters from where Rian has left them
uh-huh.
and then continue that story? Mm-hmm. And maybe to some degree he goes, how do I push them back onto the path that I would have had them on?
Right.
But there, he still needs to have those catalysts. I honestly think that with Hux, I don't think he was meant to be like a joke character.
No, I thought he was supposed to be way more intimidating and yeah. scarier. In this,
well, he was with his
movies went
with
on.
His Nazi speech that yes. he had on
super
you know, on the Starkiller base. I could definitely see him being angrier and
right.
kind of feeding into that, and Kylo being so obsessed with. You know, oh, I didn't get to beat Skywalker, and now I have to figure out what I'm going to do with Rey. And if she's incentivized more people that are Force sensitive to start to join the Resistance, and this gets into the next rumor, is him trying to Jedi hunt, where he's going out trying to find Force sensitive people and either sway them to the dark side or just outright kill them. Because it's either, look, you're with me or you're against me. There's
right.
no gray area here. And he sees everybody as a potential adversary down mm-hmm. the line.
Yeah, I mean, I see that happening. I like that story, too. I think Kylo Jedi hunting, it fits. I enjoy that. You kill what you are afraid of. You kill what you think can eventually take. You kill the rays of
yeah.
the world. You could have possibly swayed her to be on your side or to rule this empire with you, but you couldn't. So
yeah.
who's to say
yeah.
you can do that with every other Jedi? You can't. So what you do, if they're not with you, you kill them.
And I think that's where we'll probably see the reintegration of the Knights of Ren, right?
Well,
where,
and it goes back to Revenge of the Sith and kind of has that full circle.
Order 66
of,
feel.
Yeah. yeah, you get rid of what is not your beliefs. And it's really scary, but that's kind of how, you know, people see the world.
See, and what's, one of the other things that was kind of interesting is that in Star Wars Insider, the magazine that we used to have a subscription to, they actually mentioned the fact that Snoke refers to having another apprentice other than just Kylo Ren. So there is also the possibility that another apprentice appears.
Like somebody was always there to keep like the other in check.
Yeah,
something. But without knowledge of the other.
Right, where he's kind of like, I mean, we almost saw where he was like, well, Kylo Ren is weak and
mm-hmm.
he's battering him down because he views Rey as a potential replacement
mm-hmm.
almost. And maybe there is another Force-sensitive that he has kind of sitting in the wings. So people have been thinking like, oh, potentially maybe that's Carrie Russell. Maybe she's like a Mara Jade character. That it's like, here is the female dark side individual. And that you almost have Kylo kind of stuck in the middle there where he's like, well, here's this other person that can replace me, that I didn't really know was there. Or maybe she's investigating like who killed Snoke. Why would Snoke be cut in half with a lightsaber?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's up to him to try to convince her like, oh, it was Rey that cut him in half.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd be like, well, why didn't you stop her? So that has been a little bit of the rumors that have come out. Also, the idea that Carrie Russell could potentially be the live action version of Ahsoka.
I don't know. I don't know if I believe that one. I mean, I know these are all rumors. I really don't know.
Would you want Ahsoka introduced into the live-action universe, or do you want her kept solely into the cartoons?
I'm like neither here nor there. It's not a big deal for me. I love Ahsoka.
Yeah.
But I'm not the obsessed with Ahsoka.
Right, right.
Fan. I really her for what she was and what I saw of Clone Wars, but I don't know where she went in Rebels. I don't know what the heck happened with her storyline. And so I don't know where she is. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how. But apparently everybody loves her. So she must have done something epic in Rebels that I completely just missed.
I don't think it was so much in Rebels. I think it was the last season of Clone Wars where it
right.
very much was like her on the run from the Jedi
Temple.
No,
I did enjoy that.
Yeah,
and like
so
I
think that's what built the character up.
Not trusting the Jedi anymore
yeah.
either.
And she walks away from
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I did like that. So it made her a really strong character. If I see her in live action, cool. I would be okay with it. Do I need to? No, I'd be okay if she doesn't show up either. So it's kind of whatever happens, happens. I'm not rooting
one way or the other. And the only other idea was, I think Kevin Smith, postulated this, is that Carrie Russell may be Ray's mom, because you think physically the way that she looks. And then the person he was talking to, I can't remember who it was, and he was like, but what if it's the same person? So he's saying, what if Ahsoka is Rey's mom? I don't think they go that route. You and I were kind of talking about how, like, a Togruta and a human.
I just feel you're like gonna have, you'd like, have more of a mix.
Yeah, it's not going to be just full-on human.
I think she'd get the skin tone of a Togruta if she doesn't get, like the brain tentacles of... Well, I don't know. What does she have? She doesn't. That's a headdress. Is that her head, or is that a headdress?
No, I think that's part of the species, is to have
like horn type thing.
Well, it's like the Leku that the Twi'leks have.
Right.
You know, like the brain tails.
Yeah, but are they brain tails?
Yeah, it's. I think it's similar in that, in that regard.
I wasn't sure if it's like a brain tails or a horn. I don't know.
I think it's a mix of both.
Some sort of bone in there is making those forms on her head. I feel like... It doesn't work. You don't mix a human and a Togruta and get just a human.
Right.
Or just a Togruta. I think you get a mixture of the character.
You get something.
I don't see that being plausible. But if it is, they're going to completely blow my mind, because I was not expecting that.
It is Star Wars. They can do what they want.
It's possible. I'm not saying I'd hate it, but I don't expect it. So many rumors. And then there's even the rumor with, well, it's not a rumor because it happened in the comic. The issue number 6 that's coming out for The Last Jedi shows freaking Luke's, like, the ending scene when he's fading away. Big spoiler. When he's fading away to just his robe and what he is saying before. He's talking about the two sons and how, like, we're going, full circle to where it started with the two sons. And now I'm going on to this bigger life. Like, he talks about a bigger life, and it's like, what are we talking about with this bigger life? For me, I don't see anything, like, crazy with that. So many people were like, oh my God, he's going to be actually in The Last Jedi. Like, he's not going to be a Force ghost. He's going to be in it, because he has scenes with Rey and Kylo. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, well, those can all be, like, Forcebacks. Anything could be a flashback. Anything can happen. Right. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be him alive. Like, oh, I've teleported somewhere. No.
It's going to be Force ghost. Yes. Him talking
to
both of them.
They're like, but what does he mean by this bigger life? It's like, yeah, the afterlife.
He can go anywhere he wants to go.
It's a bigger life, because he's not confined to what is happening in this life. He's now has control of probably every aspect of what life could be.
He's not confined to the mortal realm anymore.
Yeah, but so many people were, like, up in arms about that. They were like, oh my God, he's really going to be in the next one. I'm like, yeah, guys, he is.
Yeah, we knew
that.
Did
you really think he's not going to be in the next one? Don't worry. Mark Hamill will be in the next one, no matter what he says.
Yeah, Harrison Ford's the only one that's not trying to come back.
He'll be there, too. I mean, that's how the Force works.
That's not how the Force works.
Cool. I don't know.
Nice.
Rumors.
So, yeah, rumors.
Which ones are real? Which ones are fake? All of them.
This is where we start playing some Fleetwood Mac. So, you guys let us know what you think. What else have you guys heard or read, or from what we talked about, which rumors are you kind of buying into, or which rumors are you feeling are a little bit too far out there? So,
I think it's time for us to start making up our own rumors.
I think we did. That was pretty much the last.
Well, we elaborated on a lot of rumors. But
the last 20 minutes was pretty much just talking about that.
Let's just make up rumors.
I like it. Sounds like a good idea. Perfect. Anything else news-wise you can think of?
No, let's move it along.
Let's do some shout-outs and then get on out of here.
We spend a lot of time talking about Marvel on the show, for good reason. They're always ahead of the curve when it comes to bringing top-level entertainment to their fans through their comics, TV shows, movies, and now podcasts.
Marvel has teamed up with Stitcher to bring you the first fully scripted 10-episode series, Wolverine: The Long Night. Following a string of mysterious deaths in Burns, Alaska, Special Agents Sally Pierce and Tad Marshall, voiced by Celia Keenan-Bolger and Ado Essendoe, arrive to investigate. They soon find there's more than meets the eye when all signs point to one man, Logan, voiced by Richard Armitage from The Hobbit series. This is your first chance to not only enjoy this premium Marvel content, but you can also support our show by going to stitcher.com/premium and using the promo code CloudCity to get your first month free. If you fall in love with their new show, as well as the other exclusive content available on Stitcher Premium, then it's only like $5 a month. But we'll still hook you up with that first month for free, even if you decide to cancel after that.
So you're getting a free month's access to the first Marvel podcast. Plus, you get to help out our show. Cut the check.
Cut the check. Cut the check. Cut the check.
So please do us a huge favor and head over to Stitcher.com/premium and start your free trial today using the promo code CloudCity. That's all one word. Again, that's Stitcher.com/premium and use the promo code CloudCity.
Fine. I'll do it myself.
Sorry. I was going to say you're welcome, but that's not even nice.
Yep.
I hope your ears are okay and ready for these shout-outs.
Shout-outs!
There it is. So last episode we talked about Roly Raleigh Crump, whatever you want to call him.
Roly Poly.
Roland Crump, to be, you know, precise. The Rebel of Disney. We talked about an Imagineer, a Disney legend. He is still active in the Disney community, and he does interviews, talks about what the days were like with Walt. The only person I know that has so much knowledge on Imagineers is D. Geekster himself. Like, he just knows everything about all the Imagineers. We really need to have an episode, if you're willing to, D. Geekster, like, just fully about the Imagineers of Disney. Or even just the Nine Old Men. Like, I know we have a great episode right there and probably hours worth of freaking, I don't even know.
Oh, without a doubt. Amazingness,
epicness.
Without a doubt. And you guys should be giving him a follow anyways, because he always will do like his artist rendition of each one of those influencers every time their birthday comes around or anytime there's a specific anniversary. So he's a good follow anyways.
Right. So what he wanted to touch on, we had mentioned the Roly Crump book that you're saying we should get. And he said he highly recommends it. Even if you never read all of it, the pictures are enough for the cash that you will spend on that book. He also recommends getting the 4-CD supplements, which are the audio interviews conducted by author Jeff Heimbach and used to write the book. You'll hear Roly himself tell the various tales. I got to see both Roly and Jeff at the Walt Disney Family Museum years ago. He also goes to the Family Museum a lot, you lucky you, because it's such a great place. But he met them there. He said another Imagineer that is still around and super active is Bob Gurr. Yes, I have heard and seen lots of things about him. He either built or designed just about every original thing on wheels from Disneyland. He is the dad of the Omnimover system. He currently does bus tours of the Disney-related sites in the LA area. I did not know that.
That's cool.
And now I really want to do this tour.
Whatever
the heck that is, I'm looking it up now. We got to figure out. We're always in the area. Let's freaking go do this tour. That's awesome.
I'm down.
An Imagineer himself giving you the Disney touches of LA. Oh, gosh. Got to do it. So thank you for all that info. Like we said, go follow him at DGeekster on Instagram. He's got great stuff about Imagineers and really all things Disney. Another person who has a lot of great info for Disney is Jedi Robbies himself. Yes. So we asked you guys, what is your go-to movies? Like if you have background noise or, you know, just something on the TV, or if it's on the TV, you kind of just sit and get sucked in every time. What are those movies? So he said, and I feel like you disagree with both of these ones.
Yeah.
Office Space and The Big Lebowski.
See, I actually do enjoy Office Space. Like, that one is a lot of fun. It's not one that I feel like I need to return to watch, like, a bunch of times. But it's definitely one of those, like, I can't believe you haven't seen that type movies. Like,
that's, I don't know. Is it because I haven't seen either one of those?
Ooh, so maybe that is, and I can't believe you haven't seen that.
And then we
that,
have
that we
him
do.
On.
Yeah, so he can talk about it. Although, my caveat to that is we'll have to put a time limit, especially when it comes to Big Lebowski, because I can go on for like an hour about how awful the Big Lebowski is and how overrated it is as a film.
I gotta watch it.
On the flip side of that, I'm guessing if that's a go-to for him, that he could probably go on for an hour about how much he loves that movie.
Exactly.
Which is fine. Like, different sides of the same coin,
different
right?
Different strokes.
Yeah, it just, sometimes a movie resonates with you, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think those are both great movies. Even if I don't like the Big Lebowski, it is still very much a movie that you have to have at least seen.
Right, and I haven't. So I need to see the Big Lebowski. It could also be one of those movies where I'm like, I haven't seen it. And we put it on. I'm like, I've seen this. I don't want to watch
it. Yeah, 2 minutes in, you're like, oh, John Goodman. I
As
remember this
As it usually
now.
Goes. No, but I don't remember ever seeing Office Space or Big Lebowski. Yes, I've heard of them. Yes, I know of them. I know it's crazy that I haven't seen them. So they might be, and I can't believe you haven't seen that future episode. So thanks for putting those in. He said as far as his Disney kind of go-to movies, Aladdin, Lion King, Beauty and the Beast. They're all immediate go-tos. And, of course, Monsters, Inc., Toy Story. Those are also great background movies.
Nice.
Love them all. I completely agree. I don't know so much as
Aladdin for sure. Like, that one can just be on all the dang time. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Lion King, you know, because of that moment with Mufasa, you guys know. You know that moment. It hurts my heart so much, it kind of pushes me away from it. It works the same for Dumbo and Bambi. Because of those specific scenes and how they made me feel when I was a kid, I don't choose them to watch. Aladdin didn't give me that moment, so I will watch Aladdin all the time. But if you gave me a family parent moment of sadness, I probably won't return to that movie as a kid. Now, it's different because I love to cry. It's weird. When you're a kid, you don't ever want to cry. So
right. But it's interesting, though, is because like with Big Hero 6, obviously it's super sad when Tadashi dies, but it doesn't deter me from wanting to watch the movie.
No, but that's what I'm saying, because we're older.
Oh, because we're old and cranky now?
We've experienced it older. We kind of know how life works, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. But we understand that these things happen. When you're a kid and that hits you, you don't want to see those things anymore. And I think it hit me that way with Mufasa, with Bambi's mama.
Right.
With Dumbo's mama. Ugh.
See,
I don't think it hits me.
It doesn't hit me as hard because I was already like 48 by the time Dumbo came out. So
good point. Why are you still alive?
Not how are you still alive, but why are you still alive? Thanks, Mama. I appreciate that.
Anyway, so yeah, thank you guys. Like we said, go follow Jedi Robbies on Instagram. Go follow D Geekster. They always have great info for us. They're huge Diz nerds, if you want to use that term. Disney Files, whatever you call yourself, they know it. You got questions.
Cast members.
They can answer it. So thank you guys for always commenting, letting us know what's on your minds, what you guys know about the parks. I'm excited. All the new things I've learned just from those two comments there.
So,
cool, cool, cool. Thank you for interacting with us, but we will move it along to the next episode.
All right. Well, that concludes another episode of Hilt Radio. We appreciate you guys tuning in each and every week to listen to us rant and ramble for about an hour and a half this time. So, Bimo, where can they find you?
You can find me at Citizen of Disney.
You can find me at Liam Bright.
You can find me at Citizen of Disney.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's Remy. You can find him at Disney.
Pretty much. Find him at Disney, wherever Disney is sold. So, if you guys want to follow the show at Hilt Radio, H-Y-L-T Radio on Twitter and Instagram, you can also go to HiltRadio.com for blogs and videos and all of our backlog of episodes if you want to go back through and kind of listen to the early days when we were known under a different name.
Don't worry. I'll put a blog up one day. Guys.
Yeah. Someday.
One day I'll learn how to use this thing.
Brittany will put her mommy blog up and you will all be incredibly impressed with how eloquently
I type.
Great. So we will catch you guys on the next episode. But as always, until then,
try to make
the world a better place.
Need even more Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars in your life? Be sure to visit our website at HiltRadio.com for more magic like our blogs, videos, merch, and access to our archive of episodes. That's HYLTRadio.com. See you real soon.